We have been using this medium chain fatty acid in swine diet, mainly nursery diet, because weaning is very stressful event for those young pigs, and they have post-weaning diarrhea risk. So because medium chain fatty acid has antibacterial and antiviral effects that can disrupt cell membranes of bacteria and virus, so it can kill these bacteria and virus. So we can reduce post-weaning diarrhea if we use this in weaning pig diet. But in my research, I focused on energy aspect because it not only has that antibacterial and antiviral effects, but there it is also a potential very immediate energy source for pigs.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast on behalf of Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us. My name is Adam Fahrenholz. I'm an associate professor in the Prestige Department of Poultry Science at NC State University and the coordinator of our animal food manufacturing program. My guest today is Dr. Yung Dao Zhang. Dr. Zhang is an assistant professor in swine nutrition in the Department of Animal and Dairy Science at the University of Georgia. Dr. Zhang, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for introduction. And I can add some of my introduction as well. So
yeah, that'd be great.
I got my PhD in swine nutrition from Seoul National University in South Korea in 2012, and I did my postdoc at University of Kentucky with Dr. Merlin Lindemann from 2012 to 2017, and then I was an assistant professor at University of Wisconsin River Falls for 6 years, and then I started this University of Georgia position on 2013, so it's been 2 years here. And my research background is mainly in swine nutrition, and I introduce myself as an all-round player. So I like sows and suckling pigs, nursery pigs, growing finishing pigs. So I'm researching all these, but I primarily focus on sow nutrition and nursery pig nutrition. And nutrient-wide, I'm primarily focused on my research focuses on the vitamin and trace mineral nutrition and feed additive evaluation in nursery pigs and sows. And I'm happy to join this podcast, and yeah, it's my honor.
Perfect. Excellent. So the topic that we've kind of got on the slate for today is talk about medium chain fatty acid supplementation in nursery pigs. And I know that's an area of work that you've been working on. And so one of the things that we're always interested in with this podcast is, you know, we talk about things related to feed manufacturing and animal food manufacturing with folks and the equipment involved and the processes and the regulations and all that. But we also like bringing in some things related to the nutrition, because just like we would like all of the folks in the nutrition space to have an understanding of how animal food is made, we also want, you know, the folks that are in the manufacturing side to have some ideas of, you know, why we are doing certain things from a nutritional perspective, especially when it comes into things like the use of additives, because it's very easy for those of us in the mill to look and say, you know, why do I have to have so many different additives in this feed? It's one more ingredient that we have to deal with to inventory and to keep up with and add into bins. And so understanding why those things are there is really helpful to make sure that everybody gets the importance of it. So with that in mind, if we're talking about these medium chain fatty acids that we might supplement, let's start with at the very beginning. What are they? What are medium chain fatty acids, and how are we utilizing them in swine diets?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. So firstly, medium chain fatty acid is in the form of a form of fatty acid. So we have short chain fatty acid, carbon chain lengths C2 to 4, and then medium chain fatty acid C6 through 12, and then long chain fatty acid C14 through 24. And then we mainly use long-chain fatty acid in the swine diet in the form the with soy oil and other animal fat, things like that. But this medium chain fatty acid have shorter chain lengths compared to long chain fatty acid. And then we have C6, C8, C10, and C12. Caprylic acid, caprylic acid, capric acid, and lauric acid. And then they are saturated fatty acid. So it's different from soy oil that usually have unsaturated fatty acid. And then this medium chain fatty acid is more polar compared to long chain fatty acid. So it is absorbed into polar vein instead of we use lymphatic vessel for transport fat with long chain fatty acid. And then it doesn't require emergification in the gut. Okay, that is usually required for long-chain fatty acid absorption. So it's quickly absorbed and then transported through portal vein, and then it goes to the liver. And then in the liver, it passes through mitochondrial membrane and quickly utilized as an energy, so for energy production. Firstly, we have been using this medium-chain fatty acid in swine diet, mainly nursery diet, because weaning is very stressful event for those young pigs, and they have post-weaning diarrhea risk. So because medium-chain fatty acid has antibacterial and antiviral effects that can disrupt cell membranes of bacteria and virus, so it can kill these bacteria and virus. So we can reduce post-weaning diarrhea if we use this in weaning pig diet. But in my research, I focused on energy aspect, because it not only has that antibacterial and antiviral effects, but it is also a potential very immediate energy source for pigs. But so far in swine diet, we have been using this in nursery diet at very low level for main purpose of for antibacterial and antiviral effects.
Okay, so when we're talking about these types of products, you mentioned the long chain fatty acids are going to come from our kind of typical fat sources, vegetable oils. They'll come from some of our rendered fats that we might use. Where are we getting these medium chain fatty acids from? What kind of products are we actually including into the feed to bring these in?
So this medium chain fatty acid is mainly derived from coconut oil and palm oil. So this kind of the coconut palm tropical plants, they have high amount of medium chain fatty acid. And then soy oil, usually more unsaturated fatty acid than long chain fatty acid, and same as animal fat. So we can use coconut oil to supply medium chain fatty acid for pigs. But because we may not need very high level of medium chain fatty acid, so then there are many companies that have this medium chain fatty acid product, and these are usually from coconut and palm oil. And then insect oil also contains high level of medium chain fatty acid, so there is potential for us to use insect oil as a medium chain fatty acid source. And then what I also want to mention here is we can also produce this medium chain fatty acid from milk byproduct, so using fermentation technology. And this is very new technology. And then as far as I know, it's still lab scale technology. But because we produce this medium chain fatty acid, or extract medium chain fatty acid from coconut oil, things like that, this is a very expensive product. And then the price I know is like a $5,000 per ton. So there is limit because of this feed cost. But if we use this milk byproduct fermentation technology, we can reduce this production cost at least half to five times, so that we can have cheaper product, and then we can increase the use of medium chain fatty acid in swine diet, which I think it would be beneficial.
Excellent, excellent. So the opportunities to bring these into the facility, bring them in as liquid ingredients, dry ingredients, some combination of both? You know, what exists in the market, and what kind of research have we looked at as far as the actual form of being able to bring these medium chain fatty acids into the feeds?
So this medium chain fatty acid, we have different forms. So first one is just like a free fatty acid form. So which is acid, and this is liquid form. So because it's a shorter chain, like butyrate. And then we can make a monoglyceride and triglyceride form. And then we can also encapsulate this medium chain fatty acid in the some kind of coating part. And then there are different types, different properties with these three different types of forms. So firstly, with free fatty acid form, which I used in my research because I firstly want to test raw materials in my research to see if this is really working. And then my future research will test different forms for their different efficacy. But in free acid form, it's liquid, so same as soybean oil, soy oil, things like that. And then this is acid, so it's kind of not neutral fat. So if you use free fatty acid form in liquid form, then you need some kind of special care because it's anyway weak acid. But there is one product that has this free fatty acid form, but it's powder form. So they dried and add some kind of sweetener there, and then it can be added as powder form, mesh form. And then there is some kind of issue with this free fatty acid form because like a acetic acid or butyric acid, this is shorter chain fatty acid, so there is some kind of bleach smell there. So if you use free acid form, then feed manufacturing, the crews, and then maybe farm crews smell this, and it may cause some issues. And then there could be some feed palatability issues for pigs, but in my research that I used the free fatty acid form, I had no difference in feed intake. And then because of this smell issue with free fatty acid form, then that commercial product included the sweetener, so it reduced this kind of bleach smell. And then we can use monoglyceride form and triglyceride form, and then like a lipid coating, things like that. But if you have this triglyceride form or the encapsulated, you firstly need to degrade that triglyceride to free fatty acid, or degrade that coating materials to make this product active. So in order to make this medium chain fatty acid active, we need free acid form. So there's benefit of using free acid form, and then also some kind of negative part issues with smell and then acidity. But if we use the commercialized, the sweetener and powdery form, I think it's safe. And also, if we use glyceride form and then encapsulated form, we can easily reduce this smell. But in the gut, we need some kind of digestion process for this to make it active.
Gotcha. Okay. So we've got medium chain fatty acids. We've got different forms that we can bring it in, some that may be more, you know, immediately bioavailable than others, depending on if they, you know, if we have to go through that digestion step. We've got a few different issues with potentially using them in the mill, handling a weak acid, as you mentioned, some of the smells and fumes and things like that, that might at least be noticeable by folks. So, but a lot of different options there. So that's great. So pausing there for just a second, remind everyone, my guest today is Dr. Yongdao Zhang. He's an assistant professor in the University of Georgia working on swine nutrition. Okay, so we've got our products. What has your research shown so far as to what the actual benefits are to in using them primarily, I think, as you mentioned, in these nursery pig diets? I know you talked about immediate energy and potential viral and bacterial mitigation. So walk us through a little bit of what you have found the benefits actually are in the research setting.
So I did two projects with this medium chain fatty acid, and both used free acid form. One is liquid form and one is mesh form, but I did not compare this between these two. But in the first research, so this is started from that, can we use this medium chain fatty acid at higher level compared to typical recommended level in the commercial area, which is 0.2%, 0.5%, things like that, which is very low. And then primarily focused on antibacterial and antiviral effect. So there were several studies using this medium chain fatty acid in different forms. And then with pigs under E. coli challenge or Salmonella challenge, and then looking at their antibacterial effects or PED virus in the feed, and then their sanitation effects like that. But in my research, I wanted to focus on their energy aspect. So because even they have antibacterial and antiviral effect, but also there is potential for this product to be used as immediate energy source in nursery pigs. So weaning stress causes a lot of issues in weaning pigs, not only just post-weaning diarrhea, but also they fall into negative energy balance because in the first week they may refuse to consume feed, and then that feed intake is going up as time goes by as they are adapted to that weaning situation. Then medium chain fatty acid can provide this the immediate energy source in this critical period. So even though the typical recommendation level in commercial area is 0.5%, I increase this level up to 1.6%. So then looking at their gross performance and blood parameters and then vigor score. So in the first study, I used 0%, 0.4, 0.8, 1.2, 1.6% of medium chain fatty acid, mainly C6 and C8. And these were produced from that milk byproduct fermentation. And then with increasing medium chain fatty acid supplementation level up to 1.6%, we found that there is linear increase in day 28 post-weaning body weight and then average daily gain. And then at the in the middle of nursery period, there was also linear increase in feed efficiency. And even though I used a free acid form, and there was a really smell there in the barn, but there was no feed intake difference, which means there could be no significant impact in feed palatability, even though we use free fatty acid form that has actual smell. And then we analyzed blood free fatty acid levels, which is a body fat catabolism indicator. So if pigs fall into negative energy balance, then they mobilize their body fat, and then free fatty acid is increased in the body, in the blood. But we analyzed free fatty acid in the blood, and there was linear decrease in plasma free fatty acid level, which means this medium chain fatty acid can reduce body fat catabolism. So, which means it supplies immediate energy to nursery pigs. And then we also measured Fikker score, and then the Fikker score is reduced, which means they had better Fikker consistency with the increasing medium chain fatty acid level. And then we also looked at Fikker metabolites, which is short-chain fatty acid, but we could not find any difference in Fikker short-chain fatty acid levels. Then I think this medium chain fatty acid level, medium chain fatty acid could affect gut microbiota and environment, as we saw this Fikker score effect, but it may not be enough to change Fikker metabolite production. And then we did another study with medium chain fatty acid, and this is blend of C6 through C12. And then this is free fatty acid form, but powder form, and then sweetener added. We used commercial product for this project, and then we used 0.2, 0.5, 1, and 1.5% of this product. And then Interestingly, in the first, we've fed this to nursery pigs in the first 3 weeks, and then switch it to common diet. Then in the first 3 weeks, interestingly, there was quadratic effect in growth performance, and then they had the peak growth performance was observed at 1%, not 1.5%. But when we switched this to common diet in the 3 weeks at 3 weeks post weaning, and then we fed this common diet for 2 weeks, and then this 1.5% treatment caught up. So then there was linear increase in body weight and every daily gain at the end. So it's interesting finding, and I actually don't know why this happens yet, so, which means we need further research, but there could be some effect of this medium chain fatty acid at very high level, like 1.5, 1.6%. There is something happening in their gut. But still, with the previous the industry recommended level of this medium chain fatty acid at sometimes 0.02%, 0.2%, 0.4%, I believe optimal recommendation level of this medium chain fatty acid based on these two studies would be in the range of 0.5 to 1.2 to 5%. And then we also analyzed digestibility in this second trial, and then there was linear increase in dry matter and then energy and protein digestibility. So this medium chain fatty acid not only improve their growth performance, and I believe this is from that the energy effect, energy supply effect, but also it could improve digestibility and then reduce that negative energy balance impact in nursery pigs. So there is really good potential of using this medium chain fatty acid in nursery diet, but I also want to say we need further research to use this medium chain fatty acid at high level. Not just two studies can conclude, oh, this is really good product.
It's time for our famous three.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So kind of quickly here as we finish up, you've seen the health benefits, you've seen performance data that you think you're tying back to energy, which certainly makes sense, and some other ancillary benefits to the pigs. What then is, what does this look like economically? Do we expect that we're already at a point or that we will soon be at a point where these products will price in well to feed formulas, that we're actually going to get enough of an improvement in the performance of the nursery pigs to justify the cost of putting in these types of products and formulating them into our diets?
Yes, that is a very important point because, if we want to use this product as a commercial, then we always need to look at this economical impact. And then in the first pilot trial, I did economic analysis. So then I figured $5,000 per ton as a price of this medium chain fatty acid product. And then I got this price from some commercial company. And then this is very, very expensive if it's $5,000 per ton. But even though we use this very expensive product, because of this gross performance benefit in there, mainly we are looking at body weight, their gain, and feed efficiency. Even though we use this $5,000 per ton product, we could get 5% economical benefit in feed cost per pound of weight gain because there was linear effect in that body weight and then their average daily gain. But if I mentioned earlier that we could also produce this medium chain fatty acid from milk byproduct by fermentation, and this is really low cost of production. For example, it could be just for production itself, it could be about $500 per ton. And then if we put margin, something like that, and then let's say it is like a $2,500 per ton, then in that case, we could get up to 10 to 15% cost benefit in pig diet.
Okay. So we absolutely see that potential economic benefit. And I think that that's the, that's kind of where we are moving more and more as we're able to collect more data in the feed mills and on the farms and with the animals and the energy costs and the production costs and all these things. We're headed towards that idea of optimizing what we do. And sometimes we might have situations where using a product like this, while expensive, actually does help optimize what we're getting, because we will, even though it costs a lot of money to put it in, we will recover that cost plus, in this case, at least 5, maybe up to 10 or 15% on the growth performance, which makes it worth it and further optimizes what we're doing. Okay. As we're closing up, we're running right here up against the end of it. Any last thoughts that you'd like to share about the work that you're doing there, either on this subject or any others that you're doing before we close it out?
I'm working on swine nutrition research for 20 years, and then my thought in my research, and then commercialize these different types of products out there, even with nutrients like vitamins, trace minerals, or probiotics, medium-chain fatty acid. We really need to find optimum level of supplementation of each product. It's not just adding up more vitamins, adding up more trace minerals, adding up more probiotics, adding up more medium-chain fatty acid. Sometimes it does not give us better result. So when we use this kind of product or adding up nutrients, amino acid, functional amino acid, things like that, we always need research and then find optimal level and optimize the use of this kind of product and nutrients. That's my very important recommendation to our nutritionists and feed manufacturers.
I think it's a great thought to end on, the idea of optimizing what we're doing and collecting the data so that we can, because without the data, without the measurements, we're just making educated guesses. But with that data, we actually can get towards that optimizing of exactly how much and how much it costs and things like that. So yeah, that's a great thought to end on. My guest again today has been Dr. Yongdao Zhang. Dr. Zhang is an assistant professor in swine nutrition in the Department of Animal and Dairy Science at the University of Georgia. Dr. Zhang, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Once again, I'm Adam Fahrenholz from North Carolina State University in the Prestige Department of Poultry Science and the Animal Food Manufacturing Program. On behalf of Wise Genetics, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Please like and subscribe. And if you have any comments or thoughts about what else we can do in this podcast, we are certainly interested in hearing them. And until then, we will talk to you the next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.